Saeed.
Hey, Mel.
Welcome to Two Writers
Talking Shit.
We have a guest today, funny enough.
Christina Thomas. Christina is a friend of mine from Oakland, California, who went through the assistant road of grime. Christina, do you remember when we used to have these conversations? You said, Lord, please, I am going to quit. This is the fifth time I've been an assistant. I am going to kill somebody. And you know what you did?
And I was going to move back to Oakland.
And I said
this to you several times.
Several times. And you know what I said? I said, don't fucking do it because it ain't nothing here. You don't want to work at this record store. But you made it, though, and I clearly remember, and I was telling Mel and Kayla this, you had wrote this pilot, and I remember when you sent it to me, all your other stuff was good, like, you're a good writer, but when I read it, I was like, this is the best, I said, exactly, this is the best thing you've ever written, and I said, you're going to get staffed in, like, 6 months.
And I was like, okay, thanks.
And you didn't believe me.
No, because I had been grinding so fucking hard to the point where, again, I'm sorry to bring it up, but like my faith always is like, God will give you little points where it's just like, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Like after I graduated Howard, got declined from 7 grad schools, the number one NYU.
Me too.
I also got declined from NYU.
All right. Well,
you're in a very elite club.
Yes. And they kept on telling me reapply to USC. And at the time, I moved to New York for the summer because I was like, oh, maybe I'll just move to New York and I'll make it that way.
Yeah.
And it was horrible. Mm. I was getting Craigslist jobs, all that. Not to go on a tangent, but like during that time, I was going online to figure out like, maybe I can like enter these contests that everybody's like. And there was a contest for MTV to like pitch your own idea for a series. And it was I submitted myself for a docuseries because I went to New Orleans twice during my spring break in college. And then two times in college at Howard, just to like, again, it was after Katrina. I took a camera. I basically documented everything that we did to gut out homes, finding bodies.
Wow.
All that stuff. And I just was like, oh, I'll just enter a trailer. I got it.
Yeah.
My parents did not believe me. I even like Jesse Jackson gave me gave me the award.
What?
Yes. Like I was invited to LA and now it's as a semifinalist and now it's actually the finalist. And I still have the picture up where I'm literally crying and I just keep on saying like, oh God, oh God. And
keep hope alive?
Yes. And Jesse was even like, you need to stop saying, oh God. Like
Jesse was like, all right, look.
Because they were filming the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got $50,000 with Endemol to produce my first TV pilot.
Wow.
In New Orleans. And my parents are like, okay.
Wow.
And he invited me to his birthday party that he has for his foundation. My parents were like, even like, yeah. Met Michael Jackson, like all them.
What?
Barry. Yeah, all them people. And my parents were like,
Michael Jackson.
Maybe this is real. I don't know.
The Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Oh, Michael of the Jacksons?
Michael the Jackson, rest in peace, my Lord and Savior.
Jerry Curl, Michael Jackson, yes.
And it was a horrible experience.
Okay, wow. Well, we did see those documentaries.
Okay,
yes, listen. But also they were trying to make it a reality series at the same time of me making a TV pilot. But it also made me realize, like, I wanted to direct, but I needed some more. I needed more knowledge.
Yeah.
And funny enough, again, right before I went to go film that pilot, I got two letters saying I got into USC.
Wow.
First spring semester. And also on top of that, during the summer of 2007, I got to visit the campus. My uncle set it up with the head of the department, one of the professors, and both of them told me, you will never get into USC.
Wow.
And the other one said, if I saw your application, I would make sure you didn't get in.
What?
And it was funny enough, I got the award and the two acceptance letters the same week.
Wow.
And that kind of started me off. That was when I was 23. That was fall of 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on a long journey of just like, every time I thought I was ready, God showed me like, you got to put in more work. But I still was like, no, yeah. I want to do this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we come a long way. I can tell you stories even this weekend trying to get ready for this short film, for Film Independent, for Project Involve, that I've been applying on and off for 10 years. I finally got in.
Congratulations.
And it has been the most
That's a journey.
I feel like I'm going through the valley.
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting to get to the mountain.
Yeah.
We are. All that to say, that is what I lead off of, the moments and the opportunities that I've gotten.
Now, so is that trailer, is that available online? Can we watch that trailer? Oh,
yeah. It's still up. All my work is up.
Okay, wonderful.
Because a lot of people still to this day are just like, oh, you direct? Mm. Oh, is this your first short?
Like,
and before I want to punch them, I have been like, oh, have you been on my website? And they're like, oh, I didn't know you have a website. And I was like, yeah, I got a website. And try not to be mad that people don't know my journey and don't know what I've been through.
Yeah, because they could look from the outside and just be like, oh, she came out of nowhere and then she got on FBI, which is crazy. Also, how the fuck did you get on FBI? Please.
How can I do this in a very nice way?
No need to be nice. I don't know if you've noticed.
Please don't.
We have no niceties here.
You know in our industry, I got on the J.J. Abrams pilot show series, Demi-Mon.
Yeah.
That was my first show in the pandemic. I got it after 3 months of interviewing.
I was juiced.
And I stayed over 45 weeks on that show. And then they were like, yeah, we can't extend you again, but thank you so much. Turned in my draft of the script. I did episode 8.
Uh-huh.
Again, got canceled.
Damn.
But that was August 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I got like a week on a podcast as a creative consulting producer or consulting whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then I didn't get a job.
Man, talk about it.
I was developing. The agent that I had at the time, they kept on sending me on development stuff, which, as you know, you do for free. And I even went to USAID of just like pitching you some stuff, like, how does it sound? Like, this is 15, 20 minutes. And I just kept on saying, like, please, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Like, I really just need somebody to help me understand if I'm doing this correctly because I've never pitched in front of execs like this, blah, 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 blah. But again, I didn't know it was setting me up to be better at pitching in the room, but also be confident because there was one project that I really, really wanted. And it was about the Black Panther Party. And I did not get it. And I even like cried. I cried in the pitch. I cried off the phone. And that was October 2021. By March of 2022, still hadn't got a job, but I was pitching 3 different projects, including my own. I pitched a comic book series. I pitched a book. And then I pitched my own series, which is a half hour drama that was going to be based in South Africa. Still developing. Yeah. Still being offered. I don't think I have one meeting with the showrunner.
Oh, shit.
And I had to look at my reps. And I know people, they don't blame their reps. They blame you as the artist. But at the same time, I was putting in that fucking work. And I know my manager can probably come for me. That's cool. But it was just like, I need help. I need these people to fucking realize, like, I'm putting in the work, but I'm tired. I'm depressed. I actually moved home. And I joined a Bible study Zoom because I was just like, I'm done of March 2022. And they were even like, you need to really think about what you want next. And I realized I needed another agent. And even that conversation with my manager.
I remember. This is why you need friends, too, because I feel like there's often times where we talk to
each other. But again, I didn't want to fuck myself.
Yeah.
Because I was, again, I only have one show and I'm just like, I am a new writer. I didn't want to fuck myself over. And I ended up going back to an agent who really wanted to work with me, but I chose someone who looked like me. And I went back to him. I cried. And he was like, look, this is what it is. Choose me or choose them or continue to be with them. And I chose them. And within a week, he got me an interview on FBI.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then 4 days later, I got the job.
Taking that road. And wasn't it a scary road?
It was a very scary road. I was challenged a lot. I think the writers didn't understand a lot of the times. I needed the help. But they didn't know how to offer the help.
Makes sense.
Because again, if you know me, I'm very much transparent. I'm very much like, I'm not combative. I'm not someone who likes to be like, fight you on my pitches. I'm just like, it is what it is. I'll back off.
Yeah.
I pitch 4 times. I'm gonna back off.
Yeah.
This is in the room?
Yeah, this is in the room. And I was a newbie. I was one of 2 people that had joined the show who had not come back from the first season. So it was literally like I was in the frat. I was on the line, yeah. And I still was having to prove myself.
What is it about you though? One thing I love about you is like persistence. And is it a bad thing, or what is it about you that you feel like? Because to be an assistant all that long,
yeah.
And go through it, and then move back home, and then still do it, and then have those reps, and then get rid of one and choose it. Like, what is it, the persistence? Where do you think it comes from?
My mom and my dad. My dad has several jobs over his whole life. Mm-hmm. He's a carpenter. He was a police officer in San Francisco.
That's tight.
He worked for United Way as an executive, Boy Scouts of America, when they had a trans boy. Mm-hmm. Like, he has done it all. Mm-hmm. And then you have my mom, who, over 37 years, Oakland Unified School District teacher.
Come on, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've been through 2 strikes with her.
Oh, wow.
As a kid, under the age of 10.
Yeah.
And my childhood was very much like, oh, you think you're going to have a weekend?
Right.
So we're going to do some community events. We're about to volunteer. We're about to go down to the homeless encampment and like pass out stuff. Oh, you got Bible study. Oh, you got choir. Yeah. I never had a day off. It was always some type of, I'm going to help out the community in some way. It's not about me. It's about other people.
Yeah.
And I'm an only child. So I really had to like,
yeah.
Oh, it's not about me.
Right.
Oh, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But that ingrained in me, like, I have to help others. And a lot of people don't know how to take that. Which sometimes I'm like, that's hurtful. Like, why won't you want me to help you? But yeah. I don't like people helping me.
You want to get it on your own.
I do. And sometimes I want the help.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes hard to receive that help because I don't know what's going to come with that.
Yeah.
Because now I'm in the industry for real, for real.
Yeah.
And they always want something in return.
Mm.
And sometimes it's not always great. It's something to be used against me, which I have seen.
Mel talks about that sometimes too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely talk a lot off pod about like transactional relationships, you know, and like how hard that line can be to walk, right? Because a lot of times your professional relationships are becoming personal relationships. And then it's like, well, where's this line, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where does the line ever end of me owing you something mm-hmm. because you perceive that like you've done something for me? So yeah, I mean, it's an important thing to learn how to navigate, but I think it's just like, it's a constant learning process.
Yeah. And it's hard, but it's just, I am learning
the whole way through, right? It's no, they don't give you a pamphlet. They don't give you a booklet on how to do this shit. Also, like, do you have any advice for people out there who have bad reps? Because one theme that we have been talking about on here is like some people have a great relationship with their reps. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't. Some people fired them. So for you, what was it that, you know, like, do you have any advice when it comes to like looking for a rep, a manager or an agent? Do you have anything they should look for?
The one thing that I did learn from my last agents, they did give me 50 questions to answer. Just like, what did I like? What period did I like? What songs, music, whatever, which is great. But there was no communication. Mm. I didn't get to develop a relationship with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have talked to their past clients.
Mm.
Oh, that's smart.
And past also clients. What level writer they were as well, too.
Mm.
Because I also, because again, I'm still like my last agent. I was just like, I always put it on me and just like, what went wrong? What could I have done better?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, sometimes it doesn't work out. And even like, they even were just like, yeah, it happens all the time. I get it.
Yep.
Have a great rest of your career. I'll be looking out for you. But it still is like, it's always
sour.
It's just like, how can I make this better and not happen again? Because it's like a
relationship.
It's very much like a relationship, except there's no love in it.
Yeah.
unless you get the love part, which is always great, which Jason, my manager, look,
you feel
Jason,
love?
You listen to, look, there's a love-hate relationship sometimes. Because I know he's like, right now, he's like, give me that commercial hit.
Yeah.
Where that commercial hit.
They all want that.
Because I do independent so much that he's just like, look, I know you want to do this, but can you just like, I'm like, this is why I love and hate Jesus so much. Because I know he's pushing me.
Love and hate Jesus so like, much.
I love it.
Jason be killing me sometimes. I'll be like, Jason.
Yeah. He like, man, do you got that procedural sci-fi thing.
He really do. Yeah, but that, I think he knows that at a certain point now.
You'll get there.
He cannot push me.
Yeah.
Because I will fight back and he will fight back. It's that Cancer Taurus relationship, as I like to call it.
Yeah. What are you? You're a Cancer or a Taurus?
I'm a Taurus.
You're a Taurus. You're strong. Okay.
Yeah, he's Cancer. He
sensitive. So, yeah. Sensitive. Very emotional. Oh my God.
But he's not. Well, I haven't seen emotional from him. So I'm just like, he must be doing that behind closed doors. Like,
oh, that's for sure. Yeah, yeah. He's doing that behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. He's doing it, but you better believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he's a very good person that I've learned from how to build relationships and also kind of what groups to join in order to kind of expand your network and also who to learn from, because we both went to USC.
Mm-hmm. What groups should you join to expand your network?
I feel like he's met a lot of clients or just people in the industry from being a USC alumni.
Yeah.
Which I was just like, hell no. But I learned from him. Oh, I should. I was a scholarship recipient of the Black Alumni.
You are alumni.
Yeah. And I didn't think about it too much until I saw him do it. And some of the people that he introduced me to, a lot of execs were alumni or people that knew me because of some of the things that I was involved in. Mm-hmm. And I took that from him of also just... me and you have talked about of keep a list of every single executive ever in the industry that you talk to, hit them up every 3 months. Do just simple, like if you saw them on the Bear, hey, saw you on the Bear, saw your company, did that, just wanted to say hi, hello, this is what I'm working on, have a blessed day, just as you check in. And he got mad at me. He was just like, I thought you were already doing that. I was like, I didn't know. And then I just took it from there. Just like, I shared that list with him. Because I was just like, do you know that I met with 109 people? And he was smart. Like, yes, I do. Did you not?
Smart.
So I've taken that a lot from a manager of just like, he's really helped me understand how to be a better writer in the industry when it comes to business.
Out of sight, out of mind.
So that I think also is a part of the relationship as a new writer. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for that.
Yeah.
I need help.
No, we all need help. Because at the end of the day, we can't do all the shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? And you do need somebody to springboard, bounce board off ideas. And sometimes because they've worked with other writers, they know what worked and what didn't. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like they could be like, well, you know, they could help you kind of strategize, which I think is important.
Yeah.
You were in a room. Yeah. I've never been in an in-person room. I've only been on Zoom.
Yeah.
You've been on Zoom and in-person. Is it really a difference? Mm-hmm. And what are the differences? And which do you like more?
The difference on Zoom is you do get a little like a family community.
Yeah.
But when we met in person that one time, it was very awkward and quiet and just like, oh, hey. Mm. Lots of silence.
Right.
And
right.
then just like looking around trying to
staring
figure
at
out.
Each other like, oh, these are like, your feet. Like you got feet.
Like literally that or like, I remember I was like, oh, you're tall.
Yeah, or you're short. Yeah.
It was a lot of that and just, I think it was a little bit harder, but now it's been easier because now we pick it together.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Which has been like a really good thing because I'm like, now I get to reconnect with Demimon team.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I still haven't met JJ. Wow. Like me and JJ just had like
JJ,
hella Zooms.
If you're listening.
And you know he does.
Yeah, yes. he actually does. He's real, like really cool and very much a good
meet
supporter.
Meet Christina in person. It's about time.
It will happen when it needs to happen. Yeah,
so Christina, do tell us how you met your current manager and agent.
That I met my manager, my second manager actually through a workshop that I went through in 2019. I did a writer's workshop. And we had to do two pilots and then they sent it at the end of the program. They sent out our finished revisions to all these agents and managers and entertainment people. And then they had to come to Felix, St. Felix in Hollywood to this mixer and then come find us and be like, hey, we want to represent you.
That's tight.
Wow. And at the time I still had a manager. We're not going to talk about them, but we just want to let you know they used to text me about their other clients who were successful.
Wow. That there's nothing better to get a writer working by texting them.
And then my friend finally told me later on, she was like, oh yeah, he did that to everybody because he thought that was okay. Oh.
That was his style.
But at that time I knew Jason through a couple of other people and through my friend Micah, who that was their rep. And he was just like, I can't talk to you. You got a rep. Once you get rid of your rep, like let's talk.
Yeah.
And poaching. I got rid of my rep that week.
Cool. Now, what was the name of that workshop?
The Writers Assistant Network.
Okay.
And then I automatically got an agent because of that
Oh.
Yeah, from Abrams. Three Abrams. I forgot what it was originally called, but it's not Abrams Agency.
Right.
So yeah.
Back to the show, the in the room. Like, so what's the difference between Zoom and in physical?
FBI was in person, which I was like, ugh, hate it.
Really?
Because I had to move back. Remember, I had to move back home because now I got a job.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I know, this sucks. I gotta be in person. Are we gonna have snacks? Like, that's the only thing I was gonna. I was like, can we have snacks and good food?
Right. Facts.
And it was actually the best because I never knew how to pitch on a board. I felt like I had a lot more, not the water cooler effect, but it was a lot more like, hey, let's just meet in the writer's room and just eat our lunch together.
Camaraderie. Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot more support, especially Wade, our co-EP. He was really helpful for my first episode. Shoot, shout out to my two showrunners, man.
Shout them out.
Matt Olmstead.
Okay.
Oh.
Shout him out.
I love him. Right. He really was like, at the end of it, when I was on that second episode, he knew I was struggling. He
Wait a minute, second episode? So you wrote two episodes?
Yes, I wrote two episodes.
Man, come on.
No. Because I'm still like, we need to put in work that next season. Please hire me back. I just felt like I got more... I got more help.
Good.
And I got more support.
Yep.
And I felt it from my showrunner who really was like Matt was, Matt was definitely like, let me tell you about the time when I was on NYPD Blue.
Wow. Classic.
Like, I've been through what you've been like, you're going to get it. Mm-hmm. You're going to get it, Christina.
Yep.
I can't do his voice, but I can do his laugh.
You know what's funny?
I love it.
You know what's funny though is that one thing I realized meeting my mentors, none of them knew this shit.
What do you mean?
Like what I'm saying is, it's okay to not be fully prepared when you're in the and what I mean by prepared, I mean yes, you have to have skill, but it's okay that you don't know everything. Like, you know what I mean?
And now when I had to have Derek, the other showrunner, say it all the time, I was scared. That was another thing. Because I was on Zoom, I was always scared to go in their offices. I was like, oh my God, I'm about to go to Darth Vader.
Yeah.
They're about to.
Because before, the office was an email.
Yeah, it was an email or a Zoom, and it was just you and them. Yeah. And you know, that's how you feel like you're in the principal's office and something bad is about to happen. But when I went in Derek's office, I was like, hey, do you have 2 minutes? And he was like, yeah, what you want? And mind you, he's running two shows. He was on Chicago Fire and FBI International at the same time. So I really was even more like, I can't go to him. But he took the time to be like, look, this is your first show. You're going to be fine.
Yep.
Like, just keep on tracking and really go to the support of the other writers. Mm-hmm. He was just like, you're going to get it. Just keep on reading me and Matt's scripts so you can get the protocol of how to write the episodes.
Yep.
And he just was very, he was frank a lot of times and very transparent about like how things work. And he even has said to me and the group too, because I kept on saying like, I can't wait till I'm showrunning. He was like, when you become a showrunner, we gonna have a real talk.
Right.
And I was like, oh God.
Yes. Which is what I hear. Like, one of the things that was coming up, I was listening to Billy Ray's podcast, Deadline, talking about the one of the issues of one reason why showrunners need bigger rooms is because they're saying like showrunners actually get sick because they're actually overworking because they have a small staff. So you got like 4 or 6 writers. And like they're talking about like some showrunners have died, been sick, had surgeries, like different type of shit. And they're saying it's really a health issue. It's not even that we want.
Yeah. And I think Matt and Derek were also like great examples of just they've been in the Dick Wolf camp for over 12 years and just also procedural land. Mm-hmm. Even though Derek came from, he co-wrote Too Fast, Too Furious. Wow. I was like, this man. But again, a lot of those talks, as I was explaining earlier, just like, they took vacations.
Yeah.
They have family gatherings. Like they've learned now showrunning 3 different rooms that they know how to take breaks. And they've even told us like, take a break. That's why I went to Italy for a week and I should have gone longer. But they were just like, well, hey, when the room wraps, you need to go on vacation. You need to go to the places. So when you come back, you'll have all these stories. Mm-hmm. Like, don't let this show be your life. Bar. And I haven't heard that a lot from showrunners, like them specifically who've been in procedurals. Mm-hmm. That it's been very helpful for me thinking like, oh, when am I going on vacation? Oh, I'm just going to go to Chicago this weekend. Oh, I'm going to go to New York this weekend. And then have stories like Italy almost got taken by my
freaking lover, my Ronaldo. Bumble date.
Ronaldo.
Oh, Ronaldo. I gave him the hotel number and everything.
Oh, girl. Oh, girl, no. Girl, no, no.
Movie coming
no.
out soon. Movie script
no,
coming out soon.
Please.
So, yes. I told it to my friends. They were like, oh, my God. And I was like, but it's a script, right? And they were like, yes!
Hey, we'll take the story always. Roman. It's like, oh, this is going to be a horrible day, but it'll be one hell of a story.
No, it's also, I think I got scammed.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, what's I have
the
his picture.
The Tinder swindler. The
Bumble swindler. Literally, I wrote an episode like Tinder swindler, and I literally was coming to life. And I knew better, because I literally worked on a show called FBI International.
Oh, my God.
But I was just
gosh.
Like, let me see what happens. And it was like, do-do-do-do-do. I'm not homeless. I was like, so he's homeless. Do-do-do-do. I'm not selling my body. He was like, he's a gigolo. Mm. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Relief.
That's okay. I mean, Saeed's dream actually is that someone will make a documentary about him.
A good one.
It's called happen. Like the Tinder Swindler 2.
No.
The Tinder Swindler returns.
The Hinge.
Tinder Swindler part 2.
Get the app. Get the app correct. The Hinge.
Oh, okay. The Hinge.
No more apps for me. I haven't given up.
Have you?
Yeah. What church do you go to, Christina?
I used to go to West Angeles, but they look. I play dodgeball in WeHo. And they're not supportive of that community.
Oh, I see.
And I've now reached a level in my own faith that I'm just like, you can't just be open and affirming.
Mm, talk.
You have to go. You have to go beyond that level of like, you're invited. Women are able to serve as pastors in the church.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you respect the LGBTQIA plus community. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened on one of my Bumble days in Italy. They were like, I just don't understand why these gay people are just popping up in these TV shows. And I was like, I'm going to finish the gelato and then I'm going to go back to my room because I don't want to have this. Everything was going great.
You're like, don't follow me, even though I did give you the room number and a copy of the key.
Look, I've been raised by two great humans and I was like, so I'm still on the hunt for a good place, but we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Real quick, since you're doing a lot of traveling for FBI International and your Instagram story is amazing. I'm so jealous. I see these amazing hotels, these amazing food places. And I just got my passport. That's a sad side note. But do you have any travel tips for first time travelers?
I think for me, come with an open mind.
Mm.
I know for a lot of my friends, when I tell them like, oh yeah, you should just go here. Especially black people. Look, when black people go to Africa for the first time, any part,
right,
just come with an open mind. I do my research, so I have a couple of things like to go to or look forward to.
Yeah.
But come with an open mind of just, I want to try this or heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
And try that first, and that'll lead you to do other things within the country or island that you go to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are single, what I did.
What not to do. Yeah, go ahead.
Look, I knew I was like, can I pull that? Get on Bumble.
Yeah.
Because I actually did have some really great conversations with people in the country who were also expats that were just like, oh, this is what it feels to have a interesting and intellectual conversation with people. And they're open to also talking to Americans specifically about, oh, let's talk about the country. Let's talk about what you're ignorant about. No offense, but how can I open your mind, or what places can I tell you to go to? Which that happened a lot of, just like, oh, I'm gonna go to this restaurant because they did this.
Yeah.
But yet also take time for rest. I did 7 days of Italy, Venice and Rome. I did not take a break. I don't count the train ride to and from Rome and Venice as a break, because I was even smushing. It's called get first class.
Man,
don't do business.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Be a bougie bitch. Because you need your rest, and you have to also remind yourself you're on a vacation.
Yeah.
And my grandfather, Grandpa Ramsey, he always ingrained that in my mom, and my mom passed it down to me of just like, go on vacation once a year and do not skip, because you never know what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
You never know what kind of experience is going to influence the next step in your life. But also, lastly, journal.
I'm on that. I got a journal. I do the journals.
Damn.
Do you journal, Mel?
I used to journal
told me everything I need to know.
Extensively, actually.
And so I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
Please don't get me a journal. I have 10 empty that journals. Hurts.
Every single event.
But has you don't those. Have one for me, though. And this will be the magical two writers talking shit journal. Just.
I'll just accept it.
Yeah,
you know? It. So just take it in.
Yes. Picture it. All right. Before we get ready to go, because I know you got more television shows to write, because you're on the FBI International. That's a lot of episodes.
The commercial feature I'm supposed to write for Jason.
And oh my gosh. And the commercial. Okay. Let's talk about it.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, look. What was
don't
the
me in trouble with Jason.
Explain the script that got you on. Can you just tell us a little bit about the script that you got that made the difference for you?
That was the script you read. Yes. A City with Views.
Yeah.
I wanted to do something about it. They always tell you to do a script that's about you and where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a pilot about me from Oakland in about the mid-90s, which the person we will not speak of told me to do it in the 90s
because
it would be more helpful.
Yeah.
And it would be people would receive it a little bit better and be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a black man running for mayor in 1994, Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going through a lot of political things, trying to run for mayor and just go through the whole system of just like, what does it take to be a mayor and how to be political? But you find out that he's also hiding a secret that they are a trans man.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Twist.
And it was just a lot of conversations. Again, like, I'm from Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had that, and I had a dream about this black man in the mirror, and it just happened to be someone who was trans.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I play WeHo dodgeball. Shout out to my WeHo fam.
There you go.
And we were having a lot of conversations in the bar about, especially with my black gay friend.
Mm-hmm.
Just what he was going through and some of the things that we were both going through as black people in America. It mm-hmm. just happens to be I was straight, he was gay,
mm-hmm.
and that made it harder
in
different ways. And I just put that in a political thriller with an ensemble cast.
Fire.
And
that was amazing. All right, we had this thing we do at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Mel loved this part of the show.
Okay.
What are the three things you're excited about right now? It could be something you listen. Well, actually, I want one of each. What are you listening to you're excited about? What are you watching you're excited about? And what are you reading that you're excited about right now? So let's go with listening first.
Listening. Yo, Apple Music, shout out to them. If they can give me a free subscription, please, Jesus. I discovered this artist that you probably already know about called Salt.
Don't even know.
S-A-U-L-T.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with 5 albums, all dedicated as an offering to God.
Wow.
And they're all different.
Okay.
Like one is just like 70s electric guitar. Another one is just like soulful. It's just like chorus. And the other one is like all strings. It's just, it kind of has put me in the mood of just getting back into music again.
Dope.
And they actually had it for free for 10 days. And of course I missed it.
But they appreciate the support. So Salt, S-A-U-L-T. L-T. Okay. Yeah. What are you watching you're excited about?
It was the bear. I was trying to really...
Don't spoil season 2 for me.
It's not even spoiling. It's just like, I was like, I'm going to take this week by week.
Yeah.
I finished that in a week because it was just...
So good, right?
It's so good. And the characters are so strong. And I think also it felt parallel to what I'm going through right now with my film.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of the things that he's learning about. Well, him and his partner are learning about opening a restaurant.
Yeah.
That I'm learning about making a short film.
Yeah, that's dope. And what are you reading you're excited about?
I'm not really reading anything.
Okay.
I'm supposed to be reading for my Bible study group.
She's reading the New Testament. Don't you know?
I bought another book called Crazy Faith by this pastor named Michael Todd, which I've got thoughts.
Okay.
But the book is Crazy Faith. I like where it's going. It just talks about just having faith in your daily life and not thinking that it's crazy to think like, oh, I can have a whole development deal. Oh, I can have that house in Baldwin Hills.
Come on,
please, Jesus. Everything that you speak and that you think you can't speak, why don't you just say it out loud and whatever happens, God may make it come true because it's meant for you.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Sam. Yeah.
Words become things.
Yes. And we're working on the words.
Come on. Talk it right. Look, where can people find you on social networking?
You can find my website, ChristinaReneeThomas.com.
Yes.
You find me on Twitter, Introduce XTina.
Okay.
Shout out to my high school MySpace. And my Instagram, it's Christina Thomas.
And Christina is looking for a good Christian man, so we'll just put that out there.
Yes, who is not homophobic, and if I tell them I look good, they can't say, that's rude.
Very specific.
True story. True story.
Okay. Yes.
I love it. Look, Mel, another great episode of Two Writers Talking Shit.
Another amazing episode, Saeed.
Thank you to Christina for coming by.
Thank you, Christina.
Last minute guest.
No.
First pick. Okay.
First pick of the lottery.
First pick.
Yeah.
All right. See you next time.
Take care.
Bye.
Two Writers Talking Shit is an original podcast created by Melanie Mars and Saeed Crumple. Our producer is Kayla Guest. Our audio engineer is T. Kelly.
Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you damn well please. All we ask is that you subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and give us a glowing review.
If you're not going to give us 5 stars or any glowing reviews, then why even log on? Save your rants for an open mic.
If you have any questions for us, and I do mean any, you can email us at twowriterstalkingshit@gmail.com. That's the number 2, and then writerstalkingshit@gmail.com.
See you next episode.
Bye.